Joining us now, it is our good friend, Evan Thompson, who, of course, is an experienced writer and communication coach who loves to help people get clear on their career and business challenges and choices during these changing times. He can show you how to nail your resume, online job interview, and networking opportunities. But even more than that, as we learned last time, he is becoming a certified life coach as well. He can help you in all areas and maybe even with the four-legged friends. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Evan Thompson.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here. And I love that intro. I could become a pet coach, I'm sure.
Yes.
It just takes listening skills and a lot of patience. But I've had dogs all my life. I just love them. And I'm really excited to chat today.
Me too. Chili is my first dog, but I always wanted one. And now I love Chili so much. Sometimes I think about getting 12 more dogs. Or maybe I'll start with one more. But I get torn because Chili is my sweet baby, and I tell him all the time that I love him the most and that he is the best one. And if I get two dogs, what does that mean for my love of Chili? Also, I don't think Chili would like it. He likes being an only child.
Mm-hmm. He likes attention.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, that's a challenge that's not exclusive to dog owners. I mean, humans face that problem all the time. Do we need another child? Should we? But in terms of bringing another dog, you know, under the roof, I think only we, the owners, can instinctively know if the dog really will take to another four-legged in the house. You can always talk to friends who have said, well, the house is lonely with one dog. We need two or three, and see how their journey's been. You know, this is where friends are so valuable in the world of pets. You know, you can always ask them their experience so you don't have to experiment.
Yes, that's true. And I mean, we have had, I've dog sat for other friends. And so Chili has accepted other dogs in the house, but he's never, you can tell he's never that into it. You know what I mean? He's happy when they go home.
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, it's like doing business cards at a networking event. You know, two business people, they talk, they sort of sniff, and they say, well, we don't really have much to share. Well, doing business cards is the equivalent of sniffing. I mean, honestly, I've seen it all my life. And they just go their separate ways. And that may happen if you get a brother or sister for Chili. How old is Chili?
He's 8.
Yeah, I ask because it's a great age, but by then they're sort of baked. You know, they have their preferences. They've identified you as the alpha, and they may not take too kindly to another potential competitor or alpha coming into their so-called kennel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
And, you know, as they grow, they get more social. And then they reach a point when they're not as social. They even get, I hate to say cranky, but they can get a little cranky.
He's a grumpy goose.
Has he always been? I'm doing an on-air grumpy analysis.
Goose. Yeah.
Has he always been a little cranky, a little sort of maybe possessive?
A little bit. And he kind of, you know what? He wasn't. So I adopted him when he was 2.5. And he had never been socialized. And so he does not really have time for puppies. The odd time he will play with a puppy for a minute, but most of the time, the second a puppy comes near him, he's like, get away from me. I don't like your energy.
He probably doesn't remember the good old days in the litter when he was, you know, close to his mother and all his sibs.
Yeah.
And that's really, when you talk about socializing, that's really very important to take into consideration when you're buying a puppy and you're talking to the pet store, the breeder, whomever, and you say, when can I have him or her? The kids want a dog yesterday. And some breeders will let them go before 8 weeks is up. which is not a good idea because they're still learning the art of socializing and they're still getting comfortable in their own skin and they're still learning how to share and stand up for themselves, you know, in the litter. And if you wait too long, you know, after 12 weeks, they're set in their ways and they don't want to play well, you know, with any canine. They see any canine as a bit of a competitor. So it's really a fine line as far as taking delivery. 8 to 12 weeks is the sweet spot for most breeds, in my experience.
See, that's really interesting, and that's one of the challenges with rescuing is you don't always know that information, right? There's a lot of, like, I've done a lot of behavior work with Chili, and the difficult part of it is going, I have no idea what caused this.
Well, when you rescue, you're really replaying that famous scene from Forrest Gump, life's a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
I didn't know where you were going. I was like, what scene in Forrest Gump is like with a dog? But well, yes, you're right.
You don't know where the dog has been, who's owned it. Sometimes, you know, the shelter will try and give you sort of a composite on the dog's life and hopefully be very transparent, tell you know, the good and the bad and the ugly. Sometimes they don't.
Right.
If it's a case of saving the dog's life and getting him or her out the door, they may sugarcoat. So adopting a rescue is a very, a lot of soul searching in that. I've done it once, and frankly, it did not work well. I essentially did my best, but the dog was traumatized in ways that I hadn't heard. But that's not to say that rescuing is a bad policy, but you just have to be really careful.
Right. I think you have to be ready to expect whatever kind of comes your way. Now, you and Al both have pets. I don't. And for people like me who may not, what are some of the benefits of having a pet right now during COVID, and how can it help with our relationships?
I that's a great question. And they help us in so many ways, you know. They really do communicate with us. Once they get our rhythm and they understand the way we act, they're incredibly perceptive. And they can be a source of, you know, real comfort and fun and enthusiasm just by their very presence. But they expect something from you. They like a routine. They like being walked. They like hanging out. They like hanging out with other dogs. It's not as easy as just bringing home the puppy or the full grown and just playing with them, you know, whenever you sort of feel like it. You know, they require a lot of stimulation. And there are breeds, you know, that are more active than others. Whippets, for example. Whippets don't require that much exercise, whereas Springer Spaniels or flat-coated retrievers are little machines. They never stop until they're just exhausted, and then they just collapse. So get a good pair of kicks if you're going to get an active dog, Cassandra, and be ready to hit the great outdoors.
Well, and you bring up something I think that is really important and things a lot of people don't know, because I think people have certain breeds they like the look of and they're like, someday I'll get that dog. And they don't actually know the characteristics of that dog. And they are so different. Like, people think that because Corgis have those stubby little legs that they don't need a lot of exercise. Wrong. They're work dogs, right? Like, they were bred for herding and ratting, and so those little legs can motor. And so if you want a dog that is more, you know, more low-key and likes hanging out a little bit more, like, Corgi's probably not the dog for you. Also, FYI, if you get a corgi, your entire house and car and clothes will all be made of corgi hair because they shed like a nightmare. And full transparency, I was one of those people. I didn't know anything about corgis when I got Chili. And it was trial by fire in many ways. And but listen, he's the best and I love him and it worked out great. But yeah, there is, I think there are people that get certain specific dog breeds and then get them home and go, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, they fall in love, you know, with the literature, with all the, you know, cute Facebook, Instagram posts, and they just say, I've got to get one of those. There, some view them as accessories, you know, the teapots. There are a lot in downtown Toronto, and they're tucked into purses and knapsacks, and they get a free ride. But as you said, they still need to be run. They still need exercise, mm-hmm. and they still need to be socialized mm-hmm. and given some hangout time with their fellow four-legged.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one other cautionary thing I do want to mention, because we've seen this a lot during the pandemic and people are certainly at home more. And so pet adoption is on the rise. But unfortunately, what we've also seen is, you know, after kind of lockdown ended in many places and stuff like that, is pets coming back to the shelter.
Exactly.
So it's really important to think about what your life is now versus what your life will be. And if a pet is something that you really want long term and are going to make part of your family, because it is it's a living thing, right? And you have to make sure that this is the right decision for you in the long run, not just like, well, I've been home for a month, so I might as well get a dog.
And exactly. And, you know, there's always the honeymoon. Mm. This happens around the Christmas season. You know, the parents are hell-bent on getting a puppy for Christmas. And that's why many breeders and many retailers will not let anyone leave with a dog around the Christmas season because there's too many returns.
Yeah.
The honeymoon fades after Boxing Day, practically. And one rough night, you know, where the dog has to go out several times, and that's it, because often the children they're not equipped to deal with any sort of pet-related emergencies, and the parents are just buzzed from all the entertaining, and they just have no energy. They have nothing left.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mean to paint such a dark picture, but I really feel we all know what pets can do for us, but we really owe it to them to remember what we need to do for them. And when we're contemplating getting a pet for the first time, just imagine the coldest, snowiest night in the winter and imagine what it might be like getting up at 3 a.m. mm-hmm. when you hear your dog whining mm-hmm. and it needs to go out, and just ask yourself how that would work for you. If you're willing to take that on, then you're a natural dog owner, but there's a lot of stuff that you're not told until you mm-hmm. actually experience it.
You're right. And I don't think that you're I don't think you're being dark about it. I think it's always really important when we're talking about how great, and because dogs are the best, like they literally are. But I think what people don't talk about, I think a lot of people, like my whole experience of what having a dog was like is watching TV shows with dogs, and those are trained dogs. And so they're better than most dogs. And it's every dog is different, and there's different issues with dogs, and there's different personalities. And there are the things like, yeah, when they're a puppy, they get up in the middle of the night like babies. And all of those things that I think often people don't think about, they think about, yeah, walking their dog in a beautiful day, not when it's pouring rain or it's freezing cold. and they think about, like, oh, a dog, you know, sitting with me while I watch TV, and not the dog going crazy because they're hyperactive and want to go run it off. You know what I mean? And so I just think it's really important that, yeah, while we're talking about, like, the amazing benefits that they do bring, it's also really important to be like, just don't forget to be really thoughtful and realistic before bringing an animal into your home.
You know, one interesting thing I learned recently, I was talking to a breeder, and they've seen business just go right through the roof in the last, you know, year. And the breeders are more concerned about the lifestyle of the potential parent or, or owner than they are about where they live and the size of their house or their condo. They will happily release a puppy to someone who lives, you know, in a condo on the 50th floor, as long as that person has an active lifestyle and maybe near a park and may give the dog, you know, a good couple of runs each day. Because they often get returns from people who live in pretty nice areas, lots of real estate, but they're not outdoor people. They'd rather be indoors, especially now. And the pet doesn't get the exercise, and then it gets really awkward for everybody.
Absolutely. And I think that's the other thing. It's the same thing with, you know, rescues and the Humane Society and things like that. One of the things they look at, it's not so much, where you live or what size of a place you live in. It's also, you know, what's your work schedule like? What is your, you know, because often if it's like a family, like, in normal times, the kids are at school all day, the parents are at work all day. Like, how long is the dog going to be alone? You know, what situation do you have, you know, built in to deal with that and that kind of thing? Because that's all really important to think about, you know?
You know, Cassandra, you were asking about, you know, being a potential first-time dog owner. One of the tricks I've learned over the years is to always have a couple of really good dog walkers available. And you're probably saying, well, if I'm going to get a dog, why do I need to line up a dog walker before I've even taken delivery? You just never know what will crop up, you know, if you're a busy professional. And when you're sourcing dog walkers, ask a friend who has a dog walker and ask for a referral. That's the best. That's sort of almost surefire, that you'll know that the dog walker understands dogs and will be reliable and take a lot of stress, you know, off your shoulders.
I'll just bring my dog to Al's house. Should I ever have one? Right?
Okay. I mean, I guess so. Yeah, that is really...
Congratulations.
Yeah, I guess I have two dogs now. Yeah, no, that is really important, because all of a sudden there's going to be a day where you realize, like, ooh, I'm going to be gone for X many hours.
Yeah.
And to have someone that you can just call and go, can you come by at this time and take him out, is a big deal. And just makes life easier. And look, the bottom line is, and you know, I've been very careful to be like, here's the kind of, you know, the real side of it, but also, dogs, as I said, are literally the best. Like, getting through the pandemic without Chili would have been very, very ugly for me. They're a source of just constant love and companionship, and they're also hilarious.
Yeah, they do have a sense of humor. They do they do really develop a sense of humor. And if they're around an owner who is animated and funny, then they can sort of take that on. And when the owner isn't feeling so animated or so funny, they respect that, and they'll sort of retreat a little. They'll give space. They're just like a really loyal, loving human partner, really. And as we age, I can't speak from experience, personal experience, but as we age, it's true, we start to look like them, and they start to look like us. And it is a fact. I don't mean we, you know, grow a muzzle and a big wet nose, but quite honestly, they mirror our body language and our body image. The way we sit, they sit. I'm talking about dogs who are 15 years old or more, you know, with 90-year-old owners. But you've probably observed this, that sometimes you see someone pushing a stroller, and there's a dog sitting in the front, and the dog looks like the pusher.
Yeah.
Because they've known each other for like 18 years or something.
Yeah, they pick up your mannerisms.
Yeah, they really do.
Evan, what would you say some of the top benefits of having a dog are?
Dogs arouse my curiosity. And curiosity is very, very good for the brain. It's very good for the frontal cortex. So when you're wondering what a dog is going to do next, or you're playing with it and you're stimulated and you're outdoors, it's just good for your brain. It takes you away from living in your head, and it lets you really bond with them. And they don't argue. They can't talk back. They can shred your clothes and your shoes if they get ticked off at you, but nothing really major. The biggest benefit, though, for me is they're so adorable when they're sleeping at your feet. That's not the best time, but it's really cool, you know, to have that companionship. You know, and they are unconditionally loyal. They sense and they protect, and they're often your set of ears and eyes, as people who are sight impaired will tell you. They depend on their animals. Children with medical conditions often have companion dogs who will sense when there's an episode coming, a tremor, seizure, whatever, and the dog will start to send the alert. The dog will start to bark or whine or paw, and they save lives.
No, yeah, they're incredible. And there are some dogs, you know, I've interviewed Max Domi a couple of times, and he has a dog, he's type 1 diabetic. And his dog is trained to, his dog can tell when his insulin levels are getting too low. And it's fascinating, right? There's epilepsy dogs. There is like the service dogs are so incredible, and in what a dog can bring to help someone just live a better life is really amazing. And then they're also just little sneakers. You know, Chili one day was on the couch, and he doesn't usually get on the couch when I'm not out there. So I was like, what are you doing? And whenever I would turn and look at him, he would just be lying on the couch. But then I could hear him. There was a noise like he was doing something, and then I'd turn around, and he would just lie down again. And I figured out later, I had this bag we had taken to the park, and it had treats in it. And I had put it on the couch, and he knew he wasn't supposed to eat them out of the bag. So whenever I turned and looked, he would just lie down like, well, I'm not doing anything. And then when I would turn my back to him, he was eating the treats out of the bag.
What a cute.
Like, I know. And it was too cute for me to get mad. How am I going to get mad? Yeah. I'm like, you're kind of a genius.
You can't.
But I knew he was up on that couch for a reason. But every time I looked, he was like, I'm not doing anything.
You know, it's I don't think it's generally fun to say, to admit that you're being manipulated, but I'm manipulated by our dog.
100%.
And it's not humiliating at all. You look into their eyes and, you know, all these visions of dog calendars come racing to mind. And you just think how, you know, look at the beautiful black fur and those eyes. And you can't say no to another treat.
Nope.
As long as you don't full out spoil them, then that's not so much fun. When they ghost you, they'll follow you around the house, whining and pawing and,
I'm riding a line, Evan. I am borderline. Ooh, I'm getting a little too close to the he might be too spoiled. Yeah.
Maybe time to bring in yet another professional, but a dog trainer.
Who, there's been so many, Evan.
With that trainer will maybe show Chili the error of his ways.
Here's the thing. Evan, Chili's not the problem. I am.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Said.
Yeah.
The dog's never the problem. It's always the owner.
No, listen, and we have worked with several trainers and I know what I need to do, but yeah, I'm just edging closer to that line, especially during the pandemic. It's just been really hard. Like, home with him all day. He's the cutest thing that ever lived. He has a naughty streak. And but then he also knows when he does something bad, he's like, I'm going to do something quirky and cute right now. And then I'm like, all right, you can have a treat. I'm the problem, Evan. I know it.
Well, you know, Cassandra asked, you know, what's one of the benefits? You know, and you asked, what's one of the benefits? Mm-hmm. We gain a lot of self-awareness mm-hmm. from our pets. They tell us who we are by the way we respond to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And if we're inconsistent and streaky and you know, up and down, it registers with them and mm-hmm. they mirror that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, I always try and be the dog, be the owner that your dog expects you to be.
Yeah.
It's raising the bar very high in this case when you have a spoiled dog like mine.
Right? Just stop being so cute.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Evan, as we kind of wrap up here, is there any other hot tips that you can give people, whether it's, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, about potentially getting a pet now? I mean, here in Canada, we are still locked down like crazy. But it's really nice out, and I think a lot of people are probably, you know, looking to find a buddy to spend some time with who's not a human, because we're COVID-carrying machines. Any last advice, words, tips, tricks?
Yes, do your research. Have a breed in mind mm-hmm. and be patient while you're searching for that breed. You don't know what a perfect dog looks like, but breeds have certain characteristics. Mm-hmm. And try and choose a breed that mirrors your energy level and personality.
Yeah.
And your breeder or retailer will help you with that.
And what I'll say is, you know, I am very pro rescue when you can. And you're right, it's not for everyone. And what I would say is that just it might take a little bit more time and you might have to kind of get to know a bunch of dogs before you find your dog. And so just make sure that you really do your due diligence there as well so that you have a good experience. And that is for people who probably have a little bit more patience and a little bit more time to spend on figuring out issues and doing training. Because, again, the chances are higher that you're going to run up against some issues that you weren't expecting. Although it can happen with any dog. I mean, it's like people. But you know, we're all different.
Yeah. Partners sometimes misbehave, and
right?
Dogs are no different.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Sadly. But yeah, good point about the COVID times. This is a time where we need to do a lot of self-care, where we need to look after ourselves. And if getting a pet helps us in that, then it's an incredibly good thing to do.
Absolutely.
That's my simple view.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say getting chili made me a better person. And then also in this last year was one of the things that really saved me from completely losing my mind. And so it can be really, really beneficial. Just make sure you've done all your research and you've checked everything out. And speaking of checking things out, if you want to work with Evan, get some of his wisdom, whether it is in communication, in your career, in your life, you can find him at evanthompsonandassociates.com and all of the info there about the work that he does. And of course, you can hear him next time he comes on this show. Evan, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Evan.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.